News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Sound Bites. This is America's longest running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
That's you.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 6th of November, Anno Domini 2005, and you lucky people, you're listening to Sound Bites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And this is indeed Sound Bites.
And this sounds funny in this new studio.
I know. We're in the new studio, high atop the Wham world headquarters here. At Midtown Plaza, where they have brand new studios. It's very exciting for us, but things are completely discombobulated. I have no idea where anything is or
like
what we're doing.
Things are echoing around.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually.
And we get a view.
We get a view. We can see outside. It's actually sunny, gorgeous. There's a brick building there and a concrete building there and another brick building. It's gorgeous.
Well, at least we can see what it's doing.
If you're in a brick and see what I was waiting for
like
was
architecture.
The little. I was waiting for the little on light to come on. I didn't realize Brendan was up there actually pointing at me. I was looking at the.
Well, we got to add that to the list of things that I have to finish yet. The on and off lights don't light up yet on the microphones.
Right.
That'll come in time.
It'll all come in time. That's not a big deal. I get that. That's not really a problem, but. That's part of the new thing. Well, listen, we've got a great show for you today. We're going to talk about kids and the internet. We're going to talk about new types of displays. We're going to talk about spyware gone bad.
One thing, and as you know, I sent you my topic for this week.
Yes, you did.
And
I have that on here.
Right, and I saw that. And one thing I'd like to pose to our listeners for this show, just because it has been becoming a big problem. I mean, I've been getting emails about this topic, and I want to, what the topic is, folks, is how you control your computers with your kids. I'd like to hear how some of you folks actually control the computers, or don't you? As we get into the topic later on in the show, you're going to hear our views definitely on how to control it, and I'll share some of the experiences that I've had with other clients and their frustration.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, and, you know, but I'd like to hear from some of the other viewers and see how they handle literally how and when and where the kids go on the internet.
Right, that's a great idea. I'd love to hear that. One thing that I want to definitely talk about, we have, you're right, I'm getting a little echo thing. It's kind of exciting,
yeah.
Actually. Mm-hmm. We have the Apple's new QuickTime player. Available for both the Windows and the Mac. Apparently, it's a big security risk, and Apple has updated QuickTime. We need to tell everybody, update now. There's a new fix out. Problem one, yes, it's a buffer overflow. Congratulations, Apple. Microsoft has held the buffer overflow crown long enough. And now Apple has entered the fray. Are they resting on their laurels with one buffer overflow? No, there's another buffer overflow. There's also a hole that can let a movie crash your system. And yes, yet another buffer overflow. Three buffer overflows in a crash condition. Congratulations, Apple. An excellent effort.
Give them time. You know, they'll get it up to four.
I'm very impressed by that. Now, the thing is, Steve is trying to figure out how to put a positive spin on this.
No, I can't find my printout I made, so I got to bring it up on screen. they're just trying to join along in the Windows software issue, so...
Right. Yeah. They're moving over to, they're just following Microsoft right. everywhere. They're moving
they
over to
Microsoft
Intel. They got buffer
out.
Overflows.
Yep.
They're turning themselves into Microsoft.
Hey, go with the flow. They're just going with the flow. Well, they're going to the new Intel chip.
That's what I'm saying. They're moving over to PCs.
Yeah.
And
I mean, it just to all Intel going and, yeah. very nicely. And
yeah, absolutely. Oh, before we get to the phones, I do want to remind, I want to explain there for anybody who has missed this week's live broadcast of the show, the shoutcast of the show, and is the live stream, and is wondering what's going on, and they eventually had to download and listen to the podcast. The problem is that
Being in
we're in the
studio.
New studio, and there's only one connector for the microphone. I have to go buy a splitter. Now, I've known this was coming, but I thought...
Over here.
I'm using that one for the recording.
He's using that one for the recording. So
we need five.
We need five. We've got four.
Yeah.
Right, right. And I thought the recording was more important than...
Than
this. I just thought a little bit. I don't know what I was thinking, but that was my thought. I suppose I could figure it. Well, not with this machine. I couldn't. But the point is, there won't be a live stream this week, but... I've been looking to
I've
get
got
a splitter
at home. Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. And I was going to go out and get one. I didn't think we'd be here this soon.
Yeah.
I didn't think it would happen this
fast. Well, it's only been a year, right?
We didn't get much warning.
Right. Right, right, we didn't. But we're hoping that'll all be fixed next week and we'll be back doing the live broadcast next week. I want to apologize to everybody who's had to wait for the podcast, but look at how high the quality is on the podcast.
Yes.
It's great. Listen how good this is.
That is really kicking butt, and folks are really complimenting us and the quality and how entertaining it is.
People are very impressed. I got to say, this new studio is phenomenal. You know, with the gold lamé on the walls and the men and women in the tight outfits serving us drinks and the music being piped in and the spa in the corner. I don't know if you can hear. Can you hear it bubbling there? Can you hear it? No, probably not. Probably can't hear it. It's gorgeous.
Like our new couch.
The couch is soft. It's wonderful. It's a recliner.
We're
all reclined back now with drinks in our hands and just having a grand old time back here. Brendan, on the other hand, is pretty much dangling from a cable in the control room.
Yeah, they've chained me to the wall.
Yeah,
so I can't run away.
Yeah, and it's bare metal walls,
exactly.
and it's steaming in there. You can see the sweat pouring down from them. And why are they having you shovel coal in between answering the phones?
You know, they call it utilitarian, I think, is the way they describe
the
multitasking.
Setting. Right, and that, right. And the multitasking part. Right?
I don't know what you're shoveling coal for, but you look good doing it. I got to tell you.
Thank you.
You're kind of nice, but.
Load 16 tons. What do you get?
Exactly. Thank you, Tennessee Ernie. we're going to go to the phones right away. Our first caller is Shelly from East Rochester. Welcome, Shelly. What's your question? Shelly, are you there?
Great show.
Oh, there you are. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have a worm.
Uh-oh.
Wind Fixer.
Which one?
Wind Fixer. Winfixer.
Right.
And we cannot get rid of it. We have instructions in front of us to download Vundofix.exe, V-U-N-D-O. And, gosh, we've done it. They tell us to go into three different folders and type in Windows, /, Windows, System 32, and then you do DFSA, blah, 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 and then you reverse it, and you do it three times, and we can't figure it out.
Now, you've run both Adaware and SpyBot?
Have we run Adaware and SpyBot? Yes.
Have you danced the entire security tango?
Have we? Chuck, pick up. My husband's on the other line.
The other thing that you might have to do is we also recommend another program there called CW Shredder.
Well, that's specifically for the cool web search DLLs.
Yeah. But I'm wondering,
Yeah, sometimes these worms get so deeply embedded into your computer, they are very hard to remove.
Okay.
And there's several steps in the security tango that help with that. Turning off your system restore so it can't get back in that way.
Yeah.
Running it in safe mode because sometimes the worms and viruses are still running when you're in regular mode, and so they can't be deleted.
To run it in safe mode.
See,
and
the other thing
is to do, but we can't figure out these instructions, and it's got... Where the WinFixer is hiding is MS events
right.
Object.
Right.
So it's one of the background system events. So you have to run it in safe mode in order to remove that specific worm. So
right.
When you start up your computer, before the Windows logo starts up, you have to start hitting the F8 key.
Okay.
And you'll get a menu that one of the choices will be safe mode.
Right.
Yeah, because, see, they recommend, and if you're not familiar with it, and I don't recommend it a lot, a utility that can get rid of it, it's called Hijack This.
That's
but you've
right.
You've got to know what you're doing with Hijack
the
This.
Before you do any of this, though, shall we look to see if you've got a program called My Way Search?
My Way Search.
In the control panel, if it's there, remove that first.
Yeah, a lot of these worms and viruses sneak in as enhanced search tools. Cool web search, enhanced search tools, enhanced find, something like that. And most of them are just masquerading as a search tool, and they actually install a lot of these worms and spyware behind themselves.
Right. And then that vundo fix that you got, that's great.
Right.
But once you've downloaded it, double click it, and it'll create a folder. Then reboot into safe mode and run the killvundo.bat file, and that's pretty much the major piece of it. That's pretty much what you have to do.
Well, we're running problems with getting into safe mode.
You don't get the menu, or it doesn't go into safe mode?
Well, we're getting into it, and then all of a sudden the screen will go black, and it'll say safe mode on each corner, top left.
Right, it's supposed to do that, and then you should get your desktop.
Well, then it goes to the desktop, then it goes right back to the black screen with the four icons on all corners of the screen.
Explorer is crashing and relaunching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
a little pop-up will come up, and it comes up so quick, it's either yes or no, and I don't know exactly what it's saying.
Yeah, you've got something else running in there, too, preventing.
You might have to take it into a shop.
That's why I'm suggesting that your best bet at this point probably is to take it to a reputable vendor and let them look at it.
I've run Adaware, and
you haven't danced the whole security tango.
I've done that, too. Just did that this morning.
Okay, then in that case, you really need to take it to a vendor.
Yeah. Because they can run the Hijack This and...
Yeah, they'll know exactly how to run. Hijack This is a very powerful program for removing...
But you got to know what you're doing. If you remove too much...
Your Windows will get...
That's why I'll never tell folks, run that and...
Yes, yeah. Hijack This is very powerful, but very dangerous. I'm afraid that that's not something we can readily recommend. Our next caller, we have Gil from Rochester on the line. Welcome, Gil. What's your question?
Hi, folks. Actually, I was hoping you can demystify an experience I just had trying to load a SCSI scanner.
Uh-huh.
So I got a card, and I put it in. I tried to avoid SCSI up to this point, but it finally got me. And so a really nice scanner, and I plugged the whole thing together and load the driver for the SCSI card. That worked fine. And I plug in the scanner, and basically I found a driver on the website of the manufacturer, and I downloaded that into a directory, and I tried to load it from the directory. I tried to do an update driver. I got into Device Manager and tried everything I could try, and fundamentally it wouldn't recognize. It kept saying that the hardware that I had was not being recognized by that with the code I was pointing it to.
Yeah, SCSI is really difficult, especially under Windows. It never really supported SCSI that well.
I mean, right from Windows 3.1 right up to XP, there has never been built-in support for scanners.
You couldn't.
Like there are other drives. You didn't
talk into the microphone.
Yeah. You didn't find a USB or FireWire scanner?
No, this is a nice production scanner, so I had to pretty much take what I could get.
System are you running?
Well, I'm running Windows 2000, but I did.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
I did finally get it to load, but what I was hoping was that you could, save me this kind of grief in the future because
run Windows 2000
and don't use SCSI.
one of the two, certainly. Windows XP does SCSI much better. For those of you out there listening, SCSI,
Small Computer System Interface.
Yeah, Small Computer System Interface is a great little way to connect things. It's different from every other way. The problem is it's tricky. Steve used to refer to it as SCSI voodoo.
Yeah.
Yep.
And that's a problem. Listen, we're going to take a break. But when we come back, Apple has introduced the new 20-inch iMac G5. It's faster, it costs less, and it has a remote control. We'll talk about that. We said bad things about Apple first. We're going to balance the scale and say nice things about it when we come back. So stay tuned with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Brendan Cooper, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow, 50,000 watts. I wonder how many gigabytes that would translate to. Welcome back to Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I am indeed Nick Francesco.
I must be Dave Enright.
There we go. All right, very nice.
Yeah, sure.
Well, he's here. Brian. Brendan's in the back room, and we're Sound Bites. Before we get back to the phones, we said bad things about Apple in the last segment, and now we're going to say nice things about Apple. I can't believe that we haven't had Apple people calling in to yell at me. I mean, Apple people normally, you know, the minute you say Apple is not the greatest thing on earth, hundreds of them come out.
Well, there's a very fine line between fan and fanatic, and the Apple people cross it quite frequently.
I don't know that they've ever seen the fan side of that line, any of them. But Apple
has... There's a similar zealousness in the Star Wars fan. And we were out shopping yesterday, and the new Star Wars Episode 3 DVD is out. They have a companion DVD you can buy now called Star Fans, and it's a documentary of the people who started lining up for Star Wars weeks before it was going to be released.
Did you ever see Trekkies?
Yep. And Trekkies 2 we don't have yet.
What an utterly frightening film that
really?
Is. Yeah. Yeah, it's all about Star Trek geeks. And the amazing, some of them are wonderful and some of them are just
go
scary.
Over the line.
Hosted by Denise Crosby.
They're scary.
Yep.
But
anyway, back to Apple.
Yeah, back to Apple. Heaven forbid we don't do that. Apple has introduced the 20-inch iMac G5. Faster, cost less. It's got a remote control. Steve, is this thing as hot as it looks?
Yes, it is. And we're seeing.
Thank you. We'll move on. Oh, no. Sorry.
We're seeing an interesting evolution in what the computer is meant to do, and we've talked about that on the show over the years. Is that we've got in the early days, people just wanted to type letters and you know recipes and basic tech stuff, and now a basic user, I just want to get on the internet, look at some email, maybe download some movies.
Right.
So
have my whole CD collection online
and chat with my friends. And so Apple is positioning these new iMacs as sort of your digital media hub, and they've been talking about this digital media thing for a while. And so now with the 17-inch and the 20-inch iMac, comes with this new program called Front Row that uses this remote control, and they made a big deal about it. There's only 6 buttons on it compared to the 50 buttons you might have on your Windows Media Center or a regular DVD player. New technologies, it's PCI Express, DDR2 RAM, and a built-in video camera, so you can do video chatting, instant messaging right into the computer itself. Really, really cool. $1,300 for the 17-inch model and $1,700 for the 20-inch model. Really, really fast, zippy, you know, great looking computer.
It looks terrific. Go to the website and check it out, apple.com. It's pretty nifty. We unfortunately have to take another break, but we're gonna take a good look at the news and the weather and stuff. And when we come back, we're going to complete the Steve Ray trifecta, the Steve Ray hat trick. Steve's going to talk about a live event coming up next weekend. It's going to be very, very cool. So join us on the other side of the news with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Brendan Cooper, and me, Nick Francesco, on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Heating bill
is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. From PCs to Macs, these guys can help with any computer question you may have. So call the boys now at 222-1180, the Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or *1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And we're back. We're going to get to the phones in just a minute, but first, next weekend, it's a science fiction geek's ultimate dream. We know a lot of computer people are science fiction fans of one sort or another. Not all of you are the hardcore, I have to get a real Klingon forehead grafted onto my face, but there are a lot of us who enjoy various aspects of it. And there's a convention coming to town next weekend, which has some of the greatest people around. Steve, why don't you tell us about this? This is the Steve Ray hat trick.
Hat trick. Yes, presented by the Rochester Fantasy Fans, which is a locally based Rochester science fiction and fantasy group. Astronomicon, which is actually kind of tricky to pronounce.
You're right.
They have a science fiction television show on City Cable 15, Public Access 15, called Astron Magazine, so Astronomicon. And we've been having it 12 years now. But it's going to be next weekend, November 11th through 13th, at the Clarion Riverside Hotel. And our guest of honors are going to be Spider and Gene Robinson. So if you're into it's generally described as more of a writers convention rather than a media convention. No big TV guests. But if you're into the old style pure science fiction, Spider and Gene Robinson coming. Bob Eggleton is the artist guest of honor. Does a lot of really great artwork. And it's going to be a really really nice introduction to a lot of younger science fiction fans that may just see stuff on TV and we're sort of moving away from reading anymore.
Well, the big one is the guest of honor, the special guest of honor.
Right. There's actually a little bit of a concern there. And let me back up a step. In association with the High Falls Film Festival, which is also happening this week, Astronomicon is sponsoring the first annual Forrest J. Ackerman Fan Film Awards. Forrest Ackerman, Forry, as he's known to all his friends,
right? Which he has tens of thousands.
Is one of the grand pioneers of science fiction fandom, basically, and he's got all sorts of movie knowledge, and his house is a collector's dream of everything that he's collected over the years from traditional and all the great science fiction in the 30s and 40s. So he is scheduled to be presenting the awards, and over the last year or so, people have been submitting their fan films, and it's really amazing the quality of a lot of these fan films. With personal computers being able to do so much really cool video and special effects work, you can make a real Hollywood production on your home computer now. Unfortunately, Forry's been having some health problems, and we're not entirely sure he's going to make it or not. So it's kind of going to be, Friday morning, if he feels okay to get on the plane, he's going to come.
Right.
So it's unfortunate. We actually had him scheduled a couple of years ago to come to the convention, and he had a stroke a month or so before the convention. So he hasn't been in that good of health recently. But hopefully he'll be able to make it. But it's a great way to meet a lot of the authors and artists that are writing the books today, the cover art for the books. We have a couple of comic and anime guests. Steve Bennett is the anime guest of honor, does a lot of anime artwork. And you can get more information on the website at astronomicon.info or rochesterfantasyfans.org.
And, of course, if you're a Spider Robinson fan, Callahan's Cross Time Saloon, yep. He's the author. Is Spider his real name? That can't be right.
No, it's got to be a nickname.
That can't be right. Well, I don't care how whacked out your parents were in the 60s. Yeah. They may have named you Rainbow or Mist or Starshine or Moon Unit. Yeah. Nobody named their kid Spider. Yeah.
No.
We've also got a lot of other author guests, Robert Sawyer, Nancy Kress, who's from Brockport, Nick DiCerio. And one of my favorite guests is Dr. David Stevenson, who has worked on so many of the – he's a Canadian scientist, and he's worked on a lot of the Canadian space program, worked on the single-stage-to-orbit rocket vehicles. He is a rocket scientist, and he's just really cool to talk to.
Cool. And, so that's next weekend?
Next weekend. I'm actually going to be presenting a panel Sunday at 2 o'clock after the show,
right,
on computers and science fiction and the research you can do to find out about science fiction on your computer.
Now
and
you've got a link on our website,
yep,
so that people can it's astronomicon.info, which is a little different. So go there and check it out. It's going to be at the Clarion Riverside Hotel.
Which
downtown next week.
Right on Main Street on the river.
It should be pretty cool.
It's the one that changes its name every couple of years.
Yeah, right. All right, we're going to go back to the phones now. We're talking to Rick from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Rick. What's your question?
How you doing, guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have one of those neat SanDisk 1 gig removable drives. I'm able to put around my neck and
carry
around. So when I was using it this summer and in the fall, I had no problem. I'd make a file in Word, save it to that, and then bring it to school or whatnot. And then lately, I get this. If I go to save as, I get a file. It says Word cannot save the file due to a file permission error. It won't allow me to put anything on there now.
Does it have a locking mechanism on it?
I'm not even sure.
Yeah, some of the flash drives or thumb drives, as they're also called, have a physical switch on them to lock it, like the old locking tab you could slide on a floppy disk.
Mine has literally. I got to use a little pen, and it's the smallest of buttons, but you got to slide it one way or the other to lock it and unlock it.
Also, have you been using this a lot and carrying it around a lot?
Yes, I have.
It could have gotten damaged.
It could have gotten damaged or right or zapped with static. Your best bet at this point, definitely, you can copy stuff off it, right?
Right. I can. I'm able to access the disk.
Yeah, I would definitely back it up.
Okay.
That's copy the first thing I do.
Copy everything off.
And try reformatting it.
One
of the other issues, too, with flash memory is it's only rated for a certain number of writes. And that's probably in the thousands of writes.
Hundreds of thousands.
But if you've been using it frequently day after day after day,
you'd be surprised at how quickly that
adds up. You may have been approaching that write limit.
Or like I say, you might have accidentally, if there's a little button there, locked it. Like you say, zapped it, whether it got near a magnet or anything else.
Right, right.
You said that there's a little key thing on there. There are a little locking.
Some of them have a locking mechanism on the side, a little rocker switch or a little slider.
And often a symbol of a padlock next to it.
Yeah.
This doesn't look like it does.
Yeah, not all of them have that. So it's possible that it's been damaged in some way.
I'd definitely back it up and then try formatting it.
Okay.
And putting the stuff back in. And if you can't, then it's time to buy a new one. I'm sorry, but that's kind of the way that goes. Listen, we're going to take another break. However, your kids are getting out of control on the internet. They're erasing the history. They know all the passwords on our PCs. What can you do? Well, I think Steve's talked enough for one hour. And
My turn?
It's Danny's turn when we come back. We'll all find out about that stuff together on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve is here every Saturday from 12:20 till 2 to answer any and all computer and computer-related questions. Now, back to Nick Francesco on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
Are you still off?
Yeah, I'm Steve Ray. Hey, sorry, I switched mics on you. Sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
He's going to keep switching mics to make you even crazier than you are, Brendan.
The chains and coal shoveling aren't enough.
Yeah, in between all of that, it's very hard for you. Get the poor guy at least some water in there.
Yeah, really.
All right, look, today's kids know a whole lot more about our computers and the internet than we do. How do we handle that? Dave Enright.
You know, this is one topic, as long as we've been on Soundbites,
16 years and counting.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the biggest things that has been my biggest pet peeve, that's all peas.
All the peas.
Is getting the computer out of their rooms and taking control.
Yeah.
I literally had an email from a client that said, I don't know what to do. I gave my son a laptop, and now I can't get in it. He won't let me have a password or and goes on and on. He's got full control of it, and I'm worried about what he's doing. What should I do? I very simply wrote him back. How about taking the laptop away from him? As last I knew, you're the adult. He's the kid.
Right, right.
He wrote me back. Thank you. I did. Folks, literally, you've got to lock down this system. One of my tips, matter of fact, my only tip for this week, was getting control of your computer. You are the adults. You are responsible for where they go on the internet. And if the law finds that, your kids are surfing or doing this. Matter of fact, there was one woman just this week on the movies saying, oh, it must be the grandchildren. I don't have an idea what they're doing. So I don't know how those illegal movies got down there. They must have just slid down.
Yeah, and Nick's got his story about one of his people at his office.
Yeah.
One movie, one time, and the lawyers found him. And,
right,
and
right. It wasn't in my office. He was a student.
Okay.
Yeah, student. But the idea is, folks, is you have to take control. You are the adult. You are going to be charged that if the kids are doing something illegal, whether it's going to porn sites, whether it's downloading music illegally, or movies. Or if they get in trouble, you're the one that's going to be awful sad when all of a sudden your kid, and this happened to a friend of mine, their daughter ran off to the other side of the U.S. to meet up with some guy. Luckily, it turned out okay, but there's a number of incidences where, these kids think, oh, it's somebody that understands them, and they go off, and it's a predator. The basic thing here, though, folks, is you got to lock it down. What do I mean by lock it down? Is, all right, with Windows XP nowadays, you can be the administrator.
And it's the same with macOS 10 as well. You make an administrator for yourself.
And the kids become users.
Just a
standard
user.
That's all they can do. Yes, they can get in there.
The important thing to note is that standard users cannot install software. So there's nothing on that machine that you don't put there.
And you can lock it down also as far as the history and everything else. So you can't go in there clearing stuff out. You've got to take control. I mean, it's getting to where, you know, nowadays there's so many weirdos out there. And, you know, I've seen enough of it out on the web. And these, I've personally gotten four folks with child porn on it. You've got to take control.
And there are several programs you can buy, CyberSitter, NetNanny, things like that,
that
try to limit where people go on the internet. But the internet changes so fast, they're out of date as soon as you get them.
Well,
and we know people that buy those programs just to get lists of where the dirty sites are, which is odd, because if you can't find it.
There's another great one that I've recommended over the years. It's called eBlaster. And with eBlaster, you can literally have full control and even see what the kids are typing. If they're doing IMing or emailing, you can see a whole log of what your kids are doing. And you got to be right up front with them. Tell them, you will be checking this. So if anything is going on that you don't approve of, their privileges are going to be taken away.
And a lot of times it's even by accident. You know, you've got good kids. If they misspell something in an address bar, they're going to find... You know, a lot of bad sites.
And it used to be whitehouse.gov, of course, is the government site for the White House. It used to be that whitehouse.com was a porn site. And I can't tell you how many times our faculty would say, let's go to the White House and see what's, you know, blah, 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 in the history classes or in the political science or economics classes. And they, because everybody's so used to typing .com, they type whitehouse.com. They would turn away from the screen to talk to the students about what they were going to see next. And meanwhile, behind them is a porn site. Yep. Certainly, they didn't go there on purpose.
Well, it's like, I think I told this story a long time ago. Janine, my old office manager, she, you know, was wanted to look a gift up for her husband.
Yeah, these mics are a lot less sensitive than the other ones. You have to go right into them.
Well, she wound up wanting to get these special baseball cleats. So she wanted to look up Dick's Sporting Goods. Do I need to go?
No, you don't need to go any farther. Thank you.
She typed it in looking for Dick's Sporting Goods and got a lot more than that. She was up at the front of the shop, and I'm literally, you know, maybe 1,000 yards back or 1,000 feet back. And I hear this blood-curdling scream because, all this stuff on my screen, get it off, get it off, get it off.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got folks waiting on the phone, and we're going to get to them when we come back with Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Wow.
These guys know computers. They may not know anything else, but they know computers. They're Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray. And this is Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And we're going to go right to Scotty in Canandaigua. Welcome, Scotty. What's your question?
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
It's not actually a question. I need some comments and advice. I'm into image manipulation. Background and photography, taking out a tree or a pole or a background, putting in a sunset. And the magazines I read are all high-priced stuff like Adobe and a Wacom pen. My question really is, what can I do with the GIMP?
Everything. You can't do, I think it doesn't do CMYK separation.
I see.
Yeah.
But I think, which is, for the rest of you, that's a way of
separating
colors for printing. I don't know that it does that. You'd have to look at the newest version. I know they were working on it.
I see.
But the GIMP, which stands for GNU, G-N-U, GNU Image Manipulation Program, is a free program that you can download from GIMP.org, I believe it is.
Is that like I can wrote GNU?
Yeah, that's it.
GNU's not Unix, G-N-U.
GNU, GNU's not Unix, right? But it does everything. It's a completely different interface, and it takes a while to learn, particularly if you already know how Photoshop works. Not Photoshop,
Yeah, Photoshop. Yeah. And that's one of the other things too, is that the sort of the standard for digital manipulation these days is Adobe Photoshop. Yeah. But it's $600, which a lot of people don't like. They have a companion, not a companion. They have another product called Photoshop Elements, which is only $100. And it does almost everything that Photoshop does for basic use and things like that. And they have a free demo you can download from their website to see if that does enough for you. And then moving down into the GIMP, down in price, it's you won't find as many traditional magazines supporting what the GIMP does. So they use more internet forums for things like that. But yeah, take a look at Photoshop Elements as well.
Okay,
And I'll tell you what, the GIMP is being used all over the place. There's a version called Film GIMP. That's actually been used to make movies like the Scooby-Doo movies and a couple of others. So there's a bunch of stuff out there that is being done in the real world with the GIMP, and it's a great product. It really is. If you've GIMPGIMP.org is the site, and you know what though, Scotty, it's free. Download it and give it a try. Yeah. It's not going to cost you a nickel.
That's a good thing for a Scotchman, isn't it?
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a good thing for all of us these days, but it's available for Windows and the Mac and Unix and everybody, and it really does just about everything. Like I said, it's a little harder it's a little different to learn. But well, as I always say, it's like buying a new car. You still know how to drive. It's just that the controls are in a different place. And a couple of weeks of driving around, you forget you ever didn't know where the controls were.
Well, I thank you for sharing all that with me. That's what I need to know.
Well, and that's what you got. It's a pretty neat program.
And there is a GIMP users group. It's actually DK. What's the country code DK? Denmark?
Denmark, I think.
So it's based in Denmark, but with the internet, it doesn't matter where you're based. That can be your support forum is internet forums.
Right. It does everything. I mean, you can do MIDI stuff with it. There's all kinds of amazing things. If you've been looking for a good image manipulation program, you ought to check that one out. It's a pretty hot product. Well, for those of you who are still on the line, hang on. We've got news coming up, but on the other side of the news, we're going to take more of your calls. And we're going to talk about a new display, a new video display that can be printed on just about anything. We'll talk about that after the break when we come back with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with Brendan Cooper slaving away at the coal mine in the back. I'm Nick Francesco, and we're going to come back. Who've we got on the line? We've got Joe and Tom and Terry. We'll get to all of you, all of your questions, more stuff. We'll talk about the poll. It's going to be an interesting hour on the greatest computer show in the known universe. Say it with me. Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest running computer show, Sound Bites on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180 or *1180. A free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And this is Sound Bites. Back to the phones in 1 second, but real quick, I have to tell you this because it's so cool. Some British boffins, that's scientists to you, have made an LED display, just like you get in your laptops. They have made it so that they can actually print it on just about anything. That's right, print it. It's an LED panel that can be printed using a multi-nozzle inkjet printer. They've printed 14-inch models so far, other sizes to come later. They can put them on pretty much anything so they can make them flexible. They're full color. How cool is that? That's, I think, going to be the next big thing. I mean, right now, for a 14-inch monitor, for a 14-inch LCD, and they're cheap. You know, that's the big thing. They're just printing them.
I wonder how they get the electrical connections.
That technology instead of going bigger, going smaller, even smaller for some of the displays. And
well, but that's the thing. I mean, if they can print a 14, they can print a 5.
Yeah. Think of the advertising market. You know, spraying ads on people's bodies now instead of tattooing. Yeah.
Well,
them.
Right. Well, but the big thing is you're right. Look at things like the iPod. A lot of the weight and a lot of the thing that makes it delicate is the glass screen. The screen in there. If they can print an LED screen, which is bright and doesn't take a lot of power because it's LEDs.
Take the abuse.
Exactly. So it's a pretty neat feature. We'll keep you informed of that. It's going to be a year or so before we actually see them on the market, but they're out there and it looks pretty cool. Our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Joe. What's your question?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When I run the security Tango there.
Yep.
When I run the CW shredder.
Yep.
It tells me that one variant is found on MSConfig. And I can't get into my safe board unless I use MSConfig. Is that something? Because when I run my computer on normal and I run that shredder, it says nothing found.
Because it's hiding.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily need to use MSConfig for safe mode.
No.
I press that FA key, that never happens. I just boot right into my normal Windows.
It's a very tricky timing issue. Yeah. After the memory count, but before the Windows logo.
Yeah, you
most
just
of the time
keep
just keep
F8.
Banging away at the F8 until it catches it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I've been doing. But I went to Google and I read about MSConfig, and now I get in there that way. But then Shredder tells me that there's a variant there. I get rid of it. Then I get out of it, and I just want to see, and I go back into it again, and there's that variant again.
It may be reinfecting you.
Yeah, you got the restore files turned off?
Yeah, on my window, yeah. My internet options, yeah. Or computer, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The problem with getting into safe mode using the F8 key is that it's very tricky timing. What I tend to do is once it's finished counting its memory, I just keep tapping quickly on that F8 key, and it usually works.
A lot of computers now have an OEM screen. You see the compact window or the HP window instead of all that memory counting in the background.
Right.
So that's kind of tricky. Okay. So a lot of times you can hit escape to clear that computer screen window and get to the text behind it, but it's that timing issue. And what's weird is if you start hitting the key too soon,
it locks, gives you keyboard
right message. Keyboard error. Press F1 to continue.
Yeah,
right. But you can't hold it down though. You're right. You got to tap it.
No,
so
I
that's
keep tapping it. You know, when the computer starts going, when it starts booting up, I start tapping.
Well, you have to do it before it starts booting.
Well, I mean, as soon as I turned it on, because I turned it off.
Oh,
at
yeah.
night.
Well, that might be too soon. The computer has to be on enough for it to recognize the keyboard, but not so far on that it starts booting Windows. That's why it's a tricky timing issue.
Okay, you got to play around with it.
I like when Windows used to have that restart in DOS mode and restart in safe mode menu commands.
Yeah, you used to get a menu command. That was really nice.
Yeah.
I remember that, yeah. So I shouldn't use MSConfig then?
Well, you can, but the thing is you need to be cleaning it out, and the only way you're going to be able to clean it out is to let the system do it in safe mode and hopefully it'll clean it, and then you can run. What version of Windows are you running?
XP.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe then you can run SFC and replace it if it's damaged.
Yeah. Yep.
That's
you
your best bet.
You gotta do that at the command prompt.
Right. What you want to do is after you've done that,
try keep hitting all the, like we said, it might take, 5-6 reboots.
Uh-huh.
But keep hitting.
Okay.
The FA key, you'll get the knack of it, and it will come up.
And okay. Some computers, too, you can hold down the control key, the left control key.
Yes.
And just hold that one down. Don't keep hitting it. Hold it down, and that might get you into
when
safe mode.
When I reboot up?
Yeah.
Mean,
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Can't
well,
hurt to
in
try.
Other words, I should stay away from MSConfig.
Yeah, probably you don't want to play around with that too much if you can find another way to do it. Our next caller, Linda from Pittsford, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Question is a general one. I thought I had heard at one time that you should not leave your computer on overnight. My family wants to do that because they don't want to wait the time that it takes to boot up in the morning. Yep. What's your answer to this?
That's the second most heated debate in the computer industry.
Right. There's three of us sitting here, so you'll get at least four answers. from my point of view, I'll start. I leave my computers on 24/7.
Same here, and I just turn off the monitor.
Right. I turn off the monitor. My monitor turns itself off, so I don't even bother with that. But that's
basically... Well, yeah, it goes black.
Yeah. Well, but mine is also a screensaver, so at some point... or an energy saver monitor. So So at some point, it just actually turns itself into like a standby mode.
And that's become a lot of the big issue these days, is that you've got hundreds of millions of computers that people leave on overnight, and that's a lot of wasted electricity that some power plant is polluting the air to make for us. So a lot of companies are asking their employees to at least turn the monitor off at night. And yeah. And that's the big criticism, is that you don't want to have to wait in the morning to turn the computer on. And a lot of times what we've always said is hit the power button, then get your cup of coffee, and it will be ready for you when you
come
on.
But the thing is, too, is it's more wear and tear on the system turning it on and turning it off.
The trade-off is leaving it on and you're wearing the computer out. If you turn it on and off too much, it's going through heating and cooling cycles and wearing out.
Yeah.
So which one wears out faster is a big debate. But for overnight, another thing you can do, depending on the computer, is you can put the computer to sleep manually. Desktop computers, though, often have a hard time waking up in the morning, so you end up rebooting anyway. But at least turn your monitor physically off. You know, the energy saver mode is great, but turning it off the next step down, so it uses no power, is also environmentally conscious these days.
Right.
It's just in the tower that is on and still humming.
Right. You can leave. You know, that is strictly a personal choice. Turning it off saves a little bit of energy. Yeah. Leaving it on saves a little bit of time.
Okay.
But it's not going to harm it in any way.
No.
As long as you're running an antivirus program and all that other, assuming you have broadband connection. And always on broadband connection like DSL or cable. As long as you've got your antivirus and your firewall and all of that stuff running, leaving it on is fine.
Another thing we like to recommend, especially for towers that sit on the floor, vacuum it out now and then. Because the dust will get in there without you even realizing it, and it will coat all the products, all the components inside, and they run hotter and wear out faster.
I've got to post it. I'll send you this picture.
Oh, here we go.
I have seen
the wall of shame.
This one takes top honors.
Yeah, do you have your pictures still on your website?
Well, I've got even a better one, and we haven't put it up yet. This one outdoes the other one. There is literally a mid-sized tower case. You got to envision this. Now, the whole bottom is usually, you know, nice and shiny silver.
Yeah, you can't look at us anymore.
Yeah, you can't look at us.
One of us is going to have to
sit
across the table.
Or you have to do what I do, which is this way.
This thing literally had 2 or better inches of dust carpeting the whole bottom of the case.
Wow.
I filled a large baggie, that is a large Ziploc baggie, full of dust, and we sent it back to the customer.
With the baggie you sent back.
The baggie
nice.
Of dirt, because he Here's said, I can't believe it. So we sent him the bag of dirt back. I've got photos of it.
Nice.
I will send you the photos.
Nice,
so
I want to see it.
So if you want to put your computer on the floor, fine.
But you got to clean it once in a while.
Clean it once in a while, or get a lifter, you know, a shoebox or something. Lift it up a few inches. Because the carpet dust and even vacuuming around it.
And if you have animals, they go out and get dusty and bring it in.
And you can also get racks that mount your computer under the top of your desk. So it's off the floor, but still out of your way.
But this picture, though, like I say,
I can't wait to see it.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
All right, we'll go back to the phones. We have Bill from Manchester, New York.
Hello.
Hi there.
Hey, I got a quick question. I was trying to make a copy, a backup of my hard drive, with Norton Ghost.
Yeah.
I want to put a bigger hard drive in my computer, and I'm running XP, and it doesn't boot. Is that typical XP, or am I doing something wrong?
What doesn't boot?
The computer doesn't boot on the backup hard drive or on my new hard drive.
Are you running Ghost off the CD or off the hard drive?
Off the CD.
That should work.
Yeah. Now,
so you made an image with Ghost.
Yes.
And then you put the image on the new hard drive with Ghost.
Yes.
Why don't you try hard drive to hard drive and skip the image?
Yeah,
step?
Don't do the image. If you want a bootable drive, you've got to literally ghost it from one drive to the other. You don't want to do an image. All an image is a compressed file that you can save off.
No,
but if you ghost it from hard drive to hard drive and then put the new hard drive in, it should boot off that new hard drive.
I think that's what I did.
Now, the other thing, of course, is you've got to check to see how your cables are all set up.
Yeah, if it's set to cable select, then you don't have to worry about any...
Yeah, that's what it is. It's cable select.
Now, here's the other thing. Does the old hard drive still boot?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you hooked it up, like Nick was saying, though, you might have to check to make sure it was master and slave. It went smoothly, though. It copied everything over.
It seemed like it was working fine. Then all they get is a blue screen that says Windows XP right in the front middle of it. It won't go any further than that.
No, it doesn't. And you took the old hard drive out and put the new one in.
Yeah. Mostly what I want to know is I should be able to do it.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I do it daily.
Because I just didn't want to spend a lot of time doing it, and I realized it was not going to work.
Do you know what version of Ghost are you using?
Nine.
Is nine enough to know NTFS?
Yeah, nine is the latest.
Because I ran into that with some of the older versions of Ghost when we started doing XP machines
with
NTFS.
But no, I literally do this on a daily basis because a lot of folks, you know, have the old, this sounds old, 40-gig hard drive.
Ew!
And they
want a gig for my swap now.
And they want to go to like a, you know, 160 or a 300. So I do it on a, daily basis where I go the old hard drive to the new one, put the new one in, and I use their old one as maybe, you know, just an area for backing up things occasionally.
Yeah, okay. So it should work fine.
Yes,
it should.
Okay.
There's clearly something you're not doing exactly right, but it should work.
I think you hit it in the beginning when you said, was I doing it from the hard drive or from the CD? It might have been on the hard drive.
Yeah, you can't ghost active system. Yeah, you have to boot the CD and run ghost from the CD, so then you go hard drive to hard drive. Or create the floppy sets.
And one other quick question, if you can
go
take it. I have just, as of a couple of days ago, gotten broadband.
Mm-hmm.
And is my Norton virus protection adequate, or do I need to do more than that now? Because I was on really slow dial-up.
Well, that's probably adequate for virus protection, but you also now need to have a firewall, more importantly.
Like Zone Alarm.
Zone Alarm. The firewall built into Windows isn't all that good.
Yeah.
If you've got the Norton Internet Security Suite, that has a firewall in it. Norton Antivirus itself doesn't.
And that causes more problems.
It does.
That Norton Internet Security, I've seen drop more issues that I just take it off and wind up putting in Zone Alarm, which is free. And it's less hassle.
Okay. I have a router, and it says there's a firewall built into it. Does that mean?
Yeah, that gives you a hard firewall for people on the outside breaking into your computer.
Yep.
But if something gets in through email or through a web page, running Zone Alarm on your computer will stop things from going out that aren't supposed to.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
There you go. Thanks. Yeah, the other thing I was going to suggest is that he run the Security Tango, the whole thing top to bottom, just to be on the safe side. Now that he's got broadband, it's easy to download the pieces.
Well, I think his problem is, though, is like anytime we do it, we've got a bootable disk or we have the CD, depending on the client's machine, and I just boot to there. Then you get to the screen, you go next, and ghost the image over, and away it goes. I mean, I've been doing this for years that way.
We've got, we use Ghost all the time. Listen, when we come back, we've got more of your phone calls. Also, Sony. Sony's put software on their CDs to protect them against theft. Other people are calling it spyware. Other people are stealing that spyware and using it against you. We'll talk about all of that after the break when we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Brendan Cooper, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
WHAM, America's longest-running computer show on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Once again, here's Nick Francesco.
Welcome back. I am Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And this is Soundbites. Now, Sony, this is a great story. I love this story. Sony, of course, is a music company as well as making monitors and things. And they worry because people, you know, are thieves. People are thieves. And
no.
If you're going to buy their music, the first thing you're going to do is rip a copy for 40 or 50 of your closest friends.
Of course.
So Sony worries about this because they only had record profits last quarter. So they're kind of worried about, you know, you stealing from them. So what they've done is they've created a piece of software. When you load one of their audio regular music CDs to the computer, it loads in a special piece of software that hides in the background and checks to see that you're not trying to do anything illegal with their music.
What about copying it to my iPod?
No.
Doesn't let you do that.
Don't let you do any of that
and
stuff.
And a lot of times this copy protection software prevent you from playing this, the disc in a regular audio player, too.
Well, people are saying now, you know, people are crazy. They're saying, well, that's spyware, and we don't want it. Now, what's really happening is that a lot of the hackers, excuse me, crackers, the bad ones, are actually taking this technology that Sony created
and
using it. To, because all it does is take a certain type of file name, a certain file structure type, and hide it. So they're now creating their worms and spyware and hijacker stuff, creating it with the same file name structure, and it works.
Tack it onto it.
Tacking it onto the end. So now Sony's put out a program that kills their own spyware, and now we're hearing reports that the fixer crashes Windows.
More work for me.
So for those of you who are actually out there buying Sony music, you know, all you thieves are out there buying, actually buying the CD. I never understood that buying the CD made you a thief, but apparently it does. Huh. You know, they seem to be punishing the people who are actually spending money to buy their CDs. I don't get that, but that's fine.
How are you a thief?
Whatever. Yeah, right. So at any rate, there's the mess.
And it seems to be a conglomeration between Sony and BMG, two of the largest music producers.
Right, right. So we'll keep following this. We'll keep letting you know what's happening. But I should tell you that if you're buying a music CD from Sony or BMG, that you be very careful before you put it into your Windows-based machine. Now all you Mac people and all you Linux people could care less. But
well, the part of the issue is that this software prevents the music from being played on Macs and PCs and even audio players. So just like every form of copy protection that's come out, it hurts legitimate owners more than it stops any piracy.
That's what I'm saying. You're hurting the people who are actually spending the money for your music. And now, what they're saying is if I want this on my iPod, I have to steal it.
Yeah, well, especially
because I can't just put it there legally.
Now, if I've got, you know, tons of CDs and I want to put them on the iPod, I should be able to do that. You know, like the iTunes lets you do it. You put
the CD in.
Well, that's
because you're a reasonable individual.
Yeah.
But now
that's why you think that.
So a lot of people are boycotting Sony music or specific albums that are coming out with this copy protection on it. Just don't buy it. And then, of course, that turns into lower profits or lower sales, which then they use, the record companies use as proof that the computer industry is stealing so much music. No, you're just putting out bad music. We don't want to buy it.
Well, they funded a study.
Yep.
They funded a multi-year study. Them and the movie industry, the music and movie industries, funded a multi-year study as to why people aren't buying, you know, music and going to the movies as much. And the upshot of the study is that it's because the movies and the music are crap.
Yeah,
they're just bad. Nobody goes to them because they're junk. It's not that people are stealing them. Nobody even wants to steal them because they're so bad.
That was your story again. He got caught stealing a bad movie.
Yeah, he does steal. Right, right. And here's the cool thing. This is somebody at RIT who got caught, a student who got caught downloading a movie.
It happens every couple of weeks and is no big deal on RIT anymore.
At any school.
Yeah. The FBI, U.S. Marshals raid the school and confiscate somebody's computer for stealing music and movies.
Right.
Yeah.
One movie was on his machine. That's all he downloaded.
That's all.
And he got caught. $30,000 to download it. Every time he viewed it, $150,000.
In fines.
Yeah. In fines. That's a pretty doggone expensive movie, particularly when it's
a lot of popcorn
bad movie.
With that.
Particularly when it's a bad movie. You know, I don't know a movie I would pay $30,000 to watch or $150,000. I can't think of a single movie. I don't care how big a Star Trek fan you are. I'm not going to pay $150,000 every time I watch episode 3. Just ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm.
But at any rate, that's you want to be careful of that. You want to pay attention to what's going on.
Usually
with that.
And vote with your bad anyway.
Right, vote with your pocketbook. If music comes out that you want to buy and it's got this copy protection on it, don't buy it. Write a letter to the producers and saying we won't stand
I
for
wanted
this.
To spend my $15 and now I'm not gonna. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. I'll listen to something else. Yep. We're going to go to talk to Jonah now. He's been waiting patiently on the line. Jonah, what's your question?
How you doing, guys?
How are you?
I have a old compact Presario sitting here, and I've been having troubles with Windows locking up on me when I'm fiddling around, and last thing that happened was I completely lost everything. I think it's just a black screen that says the following file is missing or corrupted, /Windows/System/VMM32 period VX.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got one of two problems here, Jonah, and possibly a combination. How, when you say an old Presario, how old is old?
Yeah,
I'm running Windows 2000 on it. It's about 6 years old.
Yeah.
How much memory?
I don't know. It's my girlfriend's computer.
Yeah. Here's you've got one of two things wrong with it. Either there's something wrong with the RAM, or here are the two most likely things: something wrong with the RAM, or something wrong with the hard drive itself.
Yeah.
Now, it could be 100 other things. Could be the motherboard, could be anything. But the two most likely are the RAM or the hard drive itself.
Are you getting blue screens, did you say?
No, the black screen with the old, the old font.
We actually
files missing hard drive. Off
the
hard drive.
We actually had a bunch of these recently. The hard drives are starting to fail.
Six years is old for a hard drive.
I hate to say if you're lucky, it might be a virus deleting some of your Windows files.
Yeah, right.
More sounds like a hard drive than a memory, because usually memory will pop you up with a blue screen and it'll give you an OE error, blah, 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 blah. But usually when it's hardware, you get the black screens.
Yeah, it says type the file of the Windows loader.
Definitely. It's time to get your girlfriend a new hard drive.
Okay.
Or for not much more, probably a whole new computer.
Yeah, well, exactly. Good luck.
It's the holidays,
The holidays, yeah. Some of the, sales have already started on at most stores. In fact, I was just seeing one of the news magazines one morning recently was talking about ways to avoid your January sticker shock when all the credit card bills come. And a lot of it is start your Christmas shopping now, because there's like 5 pay periods left until Christmas. So buy a little bit every week. The sales have already started. Then use cash. Don't use your credit cards.
Right.
So you can get through the season. So.
2 weeks ago, I was down in Daytona, took a week off. I go into the CVS store. Now here it was that time, 2 weeks before Halloween. And I'm already seeing Christmas wrap.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
What is with that?
Yeah, hello? Yeah, yeah. Heaven forbid that
Halloween.
Halloween. Well, you know what? Halloween doesn't bother me because it's another, like, yeah, who cares? It's dressing up and giving out candy. But Thanksgiving, it should be a day to celebrate both our religion and our Americanness.
I remember nothing.
What's more American than shopping?
I guess so. Apparently, that's it.
And I remember nothing started until after the Macy's Day Parade, and you saw Santa coming
down
the street.
That was the start of Christmas.
Yes, and then the stores just lit up with all the trees and the displays and everything else.
Yeah.
I want those times back.
A lot of the large retailers will get like 60% of their annual sales in the Christmas season.
Right.
So they're trying to start that earlier and earlier.
Right, but I don't know that it's going to work. I mean, people don't have the money anymore.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Jeremiah. Where are you calling from, Jeremiah?
Rush, New York.
Rush, okay, what's your question?
How often should you format your hard drive?
Once.
If you're lucky.
If you're lucky. Well, once. Actually, it'll usually come pre-formatted, so you don't need to format it.
Yeah.
One of the things that we have heard people doing, though, is for the real geeky people, every 6 months they'll cut back everything off, reformat, and put everything back
on. That's called too much time on your hands.
And that's, yeah. So, yeah, you're looking at 5 or 6 hours to format and rebuild your entire Windows
and
machine.
And then get all your emails
all your stuff back
and all
on.
Settings.
Yeah.
Now, what does happen, one of two things often happens. As machines get older, the underlying formatting gets weaker and weaker.
Okay.
So there's really two things you can do about that. You can either reformat the hard drive by hand, or you can buy a program, it's a magic program called SpinRite.
Yep. SpinRite.
Okay. SpinRite. You can read all about it at grc.com. Steve's going to get that up on the site in just a minute.
Yeah, it already is.
Okay.
What that program does, and I can't believe I'm about to say this because it shouldn't be possible. It reformats your hard drive on the fly without losing any of your data.
That isn't already lost by bad sectors.
Right, right. That isn't already lost.
And that's actually something the previous caller might want to try to get his data back from a failing hard drive.
Yeah, it can't hurt.
Well, I don't think he ghosted that one right.
Wow. Yeah. That's wild. I didn't know that.
But there's not. You don't really need to. To redo your hard drive maybe once every 3 years, maybe.
With Windows 2000 up, now that they have NTFS FAT, you don't have to do that.
And one of the things that a lot of people we've seen happen is they use formatting as a diagnostic thing. I'm having trouble reading and writing data from my hard drive. Maybe there's some bad sectors on the hard drive. I'll just reformat the hard drive.
Yeah.
Well, if there's some bad sectors on your hard drive, there's going to be more bad sectors on your hard drive, and you're going to lose even more data eventually, maybe sooner than later. And with the price of hard drives these days, you know, when you start getting read and write errors, it's just so much easier to throw another hard drive in there.
Yeah, especially you can go the newer, faster drives, the serial ATAs.
Well, you got to watch what connectors you have in your computer now. We've got DDR2 RAM and serial ATA hard drives. So if your motherboard is only DDR1 and what we're now calling parallel ATA, a standard ATA drive, so then you look at upgrading your motherboard to support the newer technologies, and then by the time
you're done, you're spending more money. But the bottom line is that if you're looking, well, there's two things. If you're looking to assure that your hard drive is secure, SpinRite or healthy, SpinRite can certainly help you with that.
Yeah, it'll give you a good
diagnosis.
If
what you're really more interested in is making sure that your data are safe, a good backup policy and adhering to it is really better for you. And I tell people all the time, there's three places you can back up your data. Okay. You can back it up to a removable medium, like a floppy or a CD or whatever. And the reality is you won't do that simply because it takes time. And the second is to back it up to another hard drive in the same machine, which is easier and faster and can be automated.
But a little dangerous because whatever happens to one hard drive might happen to the other one.
Right. And the third way is to back it up to an entirely different machine, which could be in your home or could be web space. For example, out on the web somewhere. For example, we were talking earlier about Frontier.
Yep.
Gives you 125 meg of disk space. If all you're backing up are documents, that's a lot of space.
Yeah, and then each person gets 10 meg.
You get
125 for a website, which you can store.
And 10 meg for mail. Well, you want to save your mail. I know people who mail files to themselves just so they're stored up there.
Yep.
And coincidentally enough, the Apple Cider meeting this week, Wednesday the 9th at 7 p.m. at East High School, is on backup strategies. And a lot of what we're going to be talking about is generic for any type of computer. We are going to be talking about some specific Mac programs to help automate your backup. But backup strategies and methodologies are really, really key because your hard drive is going to fail and you will lose data from it. So having that backup ahead of time is even more important these days.
One thing that we have gotten into to automate it for folks, because the Windows backup program hasn't been very reliable as far as backing up.
Well, actually, backup works great.
Exactly.
Restore doesn't work at all.
Restore it never works.
What I've gotten into with
Restore that you more than likely that's where viruses get stored.
Well, exactly. So try the stuff we recommended in World Good with that.
Is just writing. Getting back to my old DOS days, we have literally written some batch files, DOS batch files, that do the old X copy. And we just copy the main folders that you need, not the whole hard drive, because that's Windows' way of telling you to reinstall Windows anyways when it crashes.
Well, and since you can't copy the hives, the registry with X copy, not reliably,
exactly.
You can't back up your programs. We're only talking about your data.
Right, and we copy. I set up a batch file and then add that to the task manager to do it at night. So it just automatically happens to an external USB drive.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. If you think hackers going after your credit card numbers is scary, you haven't seen anything yet. When we come back after this break, we'll bring you the latest, newest exploits to keep you awake at night with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Brendan Cooper, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
For today, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And we're going to get back to the phones, but before we do, I want to talk about... even before I talk about that, you guys, you pushed the club. That's always good. If you are a School of the Arts parent or faculty member or staff, anybody associated with School of the Arts, Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., I'll be giving a talk about security and keeping your system safe and all of that stuff. And if you're a SOTA parent or faculty or staff, please come down Tuesday, 7 p.m. after you vote. Vote first.
Where?
Voting is at SOTA.
Where?
School of the Arts.
Location.
It's for School of the Arts people only. You think they don't know where they send their kids to school every day?
At
Might
school
not. Of the Arts.
You never know.
They know. They know. At any rate, it's just for School of the Arts parents. We'll do this for the public at some other point, but this is just for them. And so if you're a SOTA parent or faculty or staff, vote first. Nothing is more important than exercising your franchise as a citizen in the United States of America. But after that, come down to SOTA and we'll sit and chit-chat for a while. All right, new target for hackers. We've seen hackers go after your eBay account, and we've seen attackers go after your credit card accounts. Now they're going right to the source. They're going after electronic traders. Lots of people use electronic things like E-Trade and others like it to do online stock trading. Hackers are going after those accounts now. They're stealing all the money with a few simple commands, wiping out people's whole life savings. It's bigger now than it used to be. You know, it's a brand new target for them. A lot of people are doing the e-trading and they're saving all of the information. Of course, your username, your password, all of that stuff is saved in the program on your hard drive somewhere in maybe your cache somewhere. And that's what they're going after. And so if you're an e-trader, it's even more important for you, not just the e-trade company, but if you do electronic trading. It's even more important for you to dance the security tango. Make sure that your best bet, your absolute best bet, is to do it on a separate machine. If you can afford to do that, get a second machine just for your trading transactions, and don't put anything else on it. Not email. Not anything.
Totally is separate.
And dare we even say don't use Windows. Use Linux or Mac.
Use Linux or the Mac.
Yeah.
You're much safer that way. And if you are going to use Windows, scrub it every day. Dance the security tango on it every single day. We're talking about a lot of work and a lot of bother, but we're also talking about your life savings here.
Yeah.
We're talking about your future, and it's well worth it. If you're going to use Windows and you're going to do this stuff, put it on a separate machine and scrub it every day. If you're going to use something like Linux or the Mac, you're much safer, but you still want to make sure you're running antivirus and all of that stuff as well. But watch out for that and be careful of it. Back to the phones. We have Lance from Rochester, New York on the line. Welcome, Lance. What's your question? And clearly we're in Rochester because I said Lance.
Yeah.
Lance. You're from Rochester.
Welcome. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Go ahead.
Sorry, Lance. Go ahead.
Interference.
Yeah.
quick question. Windows 98 SE.
Yeah.
Mozilla not even loaded.
Yeah.
But the hard drive clatters and the light flashes, it's working. And I'm trying to find out what's working. What's it downloading or something? I don't have any task scheduler.
So the hard drive clatters and the lights flash when? When you're trying to load Mozilla?
No, when I'm doing nothing.
Oh, yeah. The lights flash where? On the hard drive or on the...
hard drive.
On the hard drive.
Yeah, it's a caching for Windows 98.
Every version of Windows runs lots of stuff in the background. And it
Internet
swaps
Explorer.
Things in and out. And it does, it does everything that it can in the background. So there will be times when stuff is running in the background, whether you like it or not. And you may have, for example, one of the many programs that people set up or get set up for them is the indexer, the document indexer.
Yep.
Find Fast.
And what that does is in the background, it searches your hard drive looking for documents and indexes them.
Okay. Well, those two you mentioned I do not have. In fact, I have minimal.
Well, but the point is Windows does an amazing amount of stuff in the background.
Sometimes you can see some of the stuff by bringing up the task manager. But most of those background tasks don't have a user interface, so you can't see that they're running.
And the one thing with Windows 98...
The closest I see is once in a while the hourglass appears.
Right.
But see, here's the thing, though. Windows 98 SE, even though you had, say, the maximum, which it can take a use of, is 128 mega memory.
Yeah.
Windows uses the memory last, and it refers going to that allocated disk space that it picks a random number and uses that part of the hard drive to switch programs in and out, check things, and do things. And, oh, yeah, I got memory over here. Maybe I'll use that sometime. But it doesn't use it all the time. Matter of fact, right. very little. It relies on that cache that's set up on the hard drive. So this is, you're going to see a lot of read writes and everything else back and forth to the hard drive as opposed to utilizing the memory.
I'm sorry,
that was back when memory was really, really, really expensive. Right. So most people didn't have very much. And so the systems were written to use all your disk space.
Three things that you can try. First, stop using Windows 98 because they haven't even updated
it in like 10 years.
All
right, I can go to Linux.
Right. The second thing is if you bring up the Windows Task Manager and pick the Processes tab, click the CPU header a couple of times, it'll list things in order of CPU as they're being used. You may see stuff come up there. The third thing, definitely dance the security tango. We're going to take a quick break back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Brendan Cooper, me, Nick Francesco, all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Wireless Fights with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I'm Brendan Cooper.
And before we get back to the phones, two quick things. Please check out the poll this week. It's about the new iMac G5. The poll at soundbites.org. The choices, of course, are the iMac G5. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Yawn. And does it run Linux? So those are your choices. Before we get back to the phones, real quick.
The answer is almost yes. It runs Unix.
Right. It already runs Unix, right. Yeah. If you thought the Soundbites Classic Thong, which of course you can purchase in the Soundbites shop, was the height of fashion for the discerning geek, man, have we got something to show you. You got to go to scrollingbuckle.com to see this. It's hysterically funny. It's a scrolling LED belt buckle. A scrolling LED belt buckle. You can put messages into this thing and have them show up scrolling across your belt.
That's only $30.
Buckle, and it's only $30. It's only $30.
The must-have geek toy for this holiday season.
I can't imagine wearing it as a belt buckle, but I can certainly imagine other uses for it. It's hysterically funny. Scrollingbuckle.com. I just had to tell you about that. We're going to go to the phones now and talk to Brian from Bath, New York. Welcome, Brian. What's your question?
Yeah, this is probably a pretty simple question.
Yeah, the questions are always simple, Brian.
About a month or so ago, somehow I lost the icon in Quick Launch to go to Show Desktop. I can't for the life of me figure out how to get it back. So I have to close all my programs now to get back to my desktop.
Well, the easiest thing to do is option. What version of Windows are you running?
98 SE.
Oh, yeah, I can't help you.
I just found a tech note at Microsoft to bring that back.
Yeah, there is a tech note. Steve's going to put up a link to that. The basic thing you're looking at here.
You make a shell script with Notepad and then save that as a file. That's annoying.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who are running XP and want to see the desktop real quick, hold the Windows key down and type M. And that, I don't know why M. I didn't write this.
Main?
No.
Because all the other letters were taken.
All the other letters were taken. But if you do option key M, or not option, the Windows key
Windows
M.
Key,
I think I'm on a Mac now all of a sudden at the option. Oh, the Windows key M, it'll show up the desktop. You can certainly try that in 98. I don't know that it works.
No,
I don't think it does, but you can try that. Otherwise, Steve's going to put up a link to this thing.
It's
pretty weird. I get it. It's pretty weird that you can lose this, first, that you can just lose it.
Yeah.
And secondly, that there's no way to get it back.
It's, right.
I get that, but this is Microsoft. God bless them.
You can try searching your hard drive for something named desktop.scf, and that might still be there from somewhere. If you drag it out of your task of the quick launch window, the original file might still be hiding somewhere in the system, and the tech note that I just posted from Microsoft is how to recreate that script file.
You might have to unhide all your files and extensions.
And I just that'd be right on your main website page?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, if you go to the... I'm going to redesign the website page. I know nobody likes this design. Well, the heck with y'all. But if you go to our main website page, soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. On the right, you'll see links. The second one is the list of sites mentioned weekly on the show. If you click on that, it brings you to another page where you can see all of the things that we've ever talked about alphabetically on the right. And on the left, it's all of the stuff by the date of the show. So right at the top on the left will, of course, be the LED scrolling belt buckle, followed by Recreate Show Desktop icon in Windows Quick Launch. They're alphabetical in there because I felt like doing it that way. But there's those top four right there. And, of course, the Rochester-based science fiction convention is in there as well. So you can check out all of those on our website, soundbites.org.
And we should also mention the Security Tango link is on that list as well, including you can also get directly to it at securitytango.com. And that gives you the list, a relatively long list of instructions to help clean your Windows PC from viruses and spyware and cracks and Trojans and all that mess that you have to deal
and
with.
Right. For the one caller that didn't want to stay on the line, if you want the instructions on how to run the both the SpyBot and the Adware, if you go down to the very bottom, you'll see a link there to email Lori Lynch. That's my wife. If you click on that and say, please send me the checklist, I guarantee you, if you put it in now, you'll have it before dinner time.
Right.
Yeah, the Security Tango gives you instructions on the first way to clean everything out, and then Lori sends you the nice set of instructions.
And by the way, you can now print that list. It used to be hard to print, but I've had several people complain now. When you go to print it, all the graphics are gone, and it's just a list. It takes maybe 5 pages, 4 pages, whatever it takes. Well, apparently, that music, the clock on the wall, and the dirty look I'm getting from Brendan, he's brandishing his shovel now. Brendan's brandishing. Tells me we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray, the great Brendan Cooper. I'm Nick Francesco. We're done for another week. Please vote in the poll. Please go to the forums and join the wackiest people on earth as they play around with everything that we've talked about this week. We'll be back next week. The greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM. I'm Nick Francesco. Thanks.